Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. In our previous session, we looked at a detailed comparison of the Christian marriage to the body of Christ. A wonderful teaching example of how the church is arranged, that it has a very proper, very definitive arrangement with Christ as the head, and each one of us as members in particular, and that just like a wife is to follow the lead of her husband, that the church is, of course, to follow the lead of the head, Christ, and that we all have been brought together and are united, are one. So, wonderful explanation of certainly one of the most important relationships that two people could ever enter into, that of marriage. Wonderful comparison to the greater reality of the church. Now, as we head into Ephesians chapter 6, it continues to explain different relationships within the body of Christ. And the first thing addressed in verse 1 is children. And it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Children's responsibility, according to God's word, is to obey their parents. One of the characteristics mentioned in the opening of the church epistles in Romans chapter 1 of the putrid fruit that people produce as a result of Adam's transgression and the sin nature that we inherited is disobedience to parents. Well, children, when rightly understood, when God's word lives, children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. We could certainly take a detailed, extensive look at the relationship of children to parents, of raising children in God's word. But bottom line, as it says here, is children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, this does put quite a responsibility on daddy and mommy. And that responsibility is for them to be in the Lord. When rightly understood, parents represent God to their children. When certainly a child is younger, you know, baby or, you know, just in his early years of infancy, a child doesn't know anything spiritually, but he does know and most directly, most intimately acquainted with his parents. And the parents are to represent God to the children. In other words, the parents are in the Lord. The parents are walking with God. The parents are loving that child like God loves us. The parents are providing for that child like God provides for us. What this leads towards is if the parents do a good job teaching the child to obey, teaching the child to that they're good and loving and kind and that they're providing for them, then that as the child matures, that transference will occur of obedience directly to God Almighty. But in the inception, in the early years, it's obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's a corresponding verse in the book of Colossians. Let's remember that Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians are a package, a unit, just like Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians are. But in Colossians chapter 3, very similar verse says, children, verse 20, Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So it says, obey your parents in all things. Here it says, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Colossians says it's well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know, there's something innately understood by human beings that children are in subjection to their parents, that children should obey their parents because it's simply right. You know, in all things, it's well-pleasing unto the Lord. It's right. Now, the root of the word obedience is to listen. And, you know, this is why in raising children to believe God's word, parents need to teach their children to listen to them. Listen to what's right. And the children need to be taught what's right. You know, the bottom line of raising believing children in the Lord is doctrine, reproof, and correction. It starts with right teaching, doctrine. So you teach your children what's right, and then expect them to remember and carry it out, which is obedience. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then the further responsibility of children is to honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. And the promise, if you look up this commandment, being one of the 10 commandments, is that it will be well with thee. You know, as a result of honoring thy father and mother, the promise that God makes is that it will be well with you. So this honoring certainly is an attitude of heart. It also has the connotation of, when necessary, providing for financially. That's part of the word honor. So honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This, you know, honoring, taking care of, in the physical realm, would certainly have great application as people age. You know, God's design for people to be taken care of in their older years is not Social Security. Social Security didn't come from God, and it isn't His system of, you know, retirement or pension or provision for older people. But you know what it is? It's the family. That's God's design, is the family. You know, what we've seen in our day and time is the family and the church responsibilities being replaced by the government. And that's just different than what the Bible teaches. So it says, honor thy father and mother, the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. Here's promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, tremendous benefit that comes from having the right relationship within the family of children obeying parents in the Lord and honoring thy father and mother. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, a father can get to a certain point in his working with his children where it becomes provocation. And this is very practical instruction. Any of you that have had children will know this, that there's a certain point where you're teaching your children, you're trying to reprove and correct them, trying to help them to get on the right track, and you just can see that that child is getting frustrated. Well, that's where you back off. You know, you don't provoke your children to wrath. And this, you know, this would be wrath against the doctrine, wrath against the teaching. Really, it can be understood as wrath against God, because You know, a child can get very frustrated at times and get angry, and that anger can be transferred to God. So, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is a father's responsibility, is make sure that that word of God is paramount, that the word of God is first and foremost in his family. Now, in verse 5, a different relationship within the body of Christ is discussed. We've seen husbands and wives. Now we've seen parents and children. But here is a different relationship. Verse 5, it says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." So now who's being addressed in Ephesians? Servants. Now, in the 21st century here in the United States, it's harder to understand this relationship within the body of Christ, because this is talking about slaves. This is talking about indentured servants, slaves. We don't have that in the United States. Haven't for close to 150 years. But from what I've been able to glean from reading secular material about the lands and times of the Bible at the time that the New Testament was written, about a third of the people were servants. They were slaves. In other words, back in the first century, this was extremely common. You know, a third of the people were slaves. Well, in addressing that, it says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear," and that's that word reverence, "with reverence and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." In other words, servants, obey your masters like you should obey Christ. Now, since we don't really have this relationship, in at least in the United States of America at this time, maybe the closest thing that there is, and there's good learning that can be applied to each of our lives, the closest relationship we might have is from an employer and an employee. So, you know, in other words, it could be understood, you know, employees, you know, you that are hired help, you personnel, be obedient to your employers. Good learning there. Hey, if you're going to be a good employee, you know what's important is that you listen and carry out instructions. And you can do it heartily as unto the Lord. You know, it's not just, oh, my lousy boss, or, you know, this, and certainly any employer is going to have his faults and not always, you know, be godly. Even a believer that's endeavoring to love his employees with the love of God, but still there's great learning for how to be a good worker, how to be a good employee. So you can transfer this understanding. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Well, you know, we're not talking about slavery, but you know, a form of this in our current culture is employment, and do things with reverence and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Verse 6, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." You know, there's a wonderful verse in the book of Ecclesiastes, which encourages, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. Very similar truth in the correction of Colossians that says, whatsoever thou doest, do heartily unto the Lord. You know, not just doing it out of trying to please men, you know, not with eye service, trying to get recognized, but working heartily in singleness of heart unto Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You know, I think it would be very easy to just pass over this section and say, well, I'm not a servant, I'm not a slave. You know, I don't have an earthly master. But, you know, really the application to work, to our work employment responsibilities of Ephesians 6:5, you know, in this particular section is very, very wonderful. And look what it says in verse 8. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You know, whether you're an employer, employee, if you do things well, if you do things heartily as unto Christ, as unto the Lord, with goodwill doing service unto God, if that's your mindset and your heart in employment, in your work, you know, God says that he will reward you. And certainly verse 8 needs to be understood in light of the events of the Bema, of the rewards that will come, you know, at the end of this life. But there also is a tremendous reward that comes in this life for working with the right mindset, with the right heart, working unto the Lord. When you work unto men, if it's with eye service, trying to just please people, that can kind of fall short of the mark. But when you work unto the Lord, it's very satisfying. It's a real blessing. So it has blessings in this life, and also the promise that God will reward us at the time of the gathering together. And now in verse 9, masters are addressed. And this, again, could be understood in our culture as being employers. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. One of the great truths throughout the Bible is that God is no respecter of persons. So whether your station in life is to be an employee or an employer, or in what was in the first century to be bond or free, well, that doesn't really cut any ice when it comes to God. It might matter in the senses realm to people, but not with God. God is no respecter of persons. So, you know, masters are to treat their servants with the love of God. They're to treat them well. All of us are to be more concerned about the well-being of others than we are about our own well-being. That's agape. That's the love of God. And you can just see how, as Christians would come to these writings of the church epistles, and they would learn of God's will for their lives and how they're to treat their master, or how they're to treat their servant, you know, how employers are to treat employees or vice versa, that it's just better for everybody. Certainly for an employer, it can be anathema for, you know, you get an employee that doesn't want to work, that doesn't, you know, carry out instructions. You know, how about for an employee that goes to work and the employer's just hard on him and threatening and not treating him well? But, you know, when you put that in the positive, when things are done with the love of God and things are done out of concern for the one body, understanding that we are members one of another, then there can be great harmony and great fruit produced. So these are very impacting verses at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 6, addressing parents and children, and then masters and servants, so that some of these sense knowledge considerations, some of these temporary things that we're involved with while we're here upon earth, can work harmoniously within the body of Christ.